We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
I bind unto myself today the strong virtue of the invocation of the Trinity. I believe the Trinity, in the unity, the three in one, the one in three, the creator of the universe. Christ with me. Christ before
Christ with me.
They call it St. Patrick's Breastplate. It's a hymn that's attributed to the real St. Patrick, a prayer as well, a remarkable hymn to the Trinity, and it ends with this Christ hymn, Christ above me, Christ beneath me, Christ behind me, Christ to my left, to my right, in me, in my neighbor, in my mouth, in the mouth of everyone who speaks to me. It has been tremendous comfort to many in the long life of the church. We're going to be talking about St. Patrick here in advance of St. Patrick's Day on Issues, Etc. This Monday afternoon, the 16th of March, Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest. Greetings and welcome, and thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live on this Monday afternoon, this hour of Issues, Etc. St. Patrick is our first subject for the first half, and then in the second half, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of the book How Christianity Changed the World, will join us. We'll talk about the impact of Christianity on civilization today. We've got a lot of subjects to cover in a half hour. Human life, sex, marriage, and the role and status of women under the influence of Christianity in Western civilization. Our call-in number for the next hour of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Or you can email us right here in the studio. We'll get your questions and comments in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Will Wheaton is a regular guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He joins us to talk about the real St. Patrick. Will, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. What a joy to be with you, especially thinking about such a great man.
We have left to us in American society a lot of green T-shirts, green beer, leprechaun outfits, kiss me, I'm Irish, four-leaf clovers, and general debauchery for St. Patrick's Day. Would St. Patrick recognize any of it?
Well, I don't think so. I think there's more of a celebration of the spirit of Ireland about St. Patrick Day than the natural celebration of St. Patrick himself. But, you know, one of the things that is a deep thing that happens inside of a people is they don't tend to forget the man through whom they were brought the gospel. It's what St. Boniface is to the Germans, St. Patrick is to the Irish. The man himself becomes bigger than life, and the result of that is some of the great history that's attached to him gets overclouded by just a general celebration of Irishness. And don't get me wrong, I love Ireland, you know, but to celebrate St. Patrick in the church is to celebrate something a lot bigger than Irish culture and people.
Locate the man in history, and it sounds like we're talking about a missionary of sorts.
Yeah, he was born to Christian parents in what we would call England today in Britain. It was before the Germans came there. So, I mean, it was like, you know, the Celtic people were living there. And at that time, the Roman Empire clearly stretched up that far, but it was beginning to weaken. And it couldn't always defend itself. And one of the things that happened is that Patrick himself was kidnapped as a young lad, a teenager, by Irish pirates who hauled him off over to across the sea there to live in Ireland and be a slave. And so he knew what slavery was about firsthand. They put him in charge of sheep. He knew what taking care of sheep were about firsthand. That was what he did as an English lad, or I should say a British lad, hijacked across the sea to Ireland. He did that for a number of years. When he was about 22, and during this time, his relationship with God developed more and more. As always, God uses such hardship and difficult times to bring us to ever greater faith and trust in Him. And he heard a voice saying to him very clearly, you can go now, go. And so he and his companion headed off. They were seeking a boat at the coast. It was a long journey for them to get there. When they finally got there, they didn't have any money to pay. They had no passage. The sailors were kind of bawdy. In fact, one of the weirdest lines in all of ancient literature. They tried to make St. Patrick suck on their breasts to get on board the ship. He refused to do it for the honor of Jesus Christ, he said. And God worked a change of heart in these strange sailors, and they said, come on, we'll take you anyway. So he went back to his home in England, and then later on a little bit in Gaul. And there his faith continued to deepen. He went to live in a monastery, and he was ordained a priest. And, all the while, the thought of these poor heathen people in Ireland was weighing on him. And finally, when he was consecrated a bishop, and he was sent back to Ireland to bring the gospel to these people who had previously enslaved, abused him. He's sent back to bring them the good news of forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ and the resurrection to a life that never, ever ends. And so he comes back to Ireland and labors the rest of his ministry in that heathen land.
There are certain things associated with him, even with the historical character. One of them is the shamrock, which is, we think about a three-leaf clover. But apparently, at least according to legend, this may have been a way for Patrick to introduce the triune God, or at least the concept, to pagan people.
Yeah, it's a pretty well-established, it's still part of the legend about him. I mean, we don't know from his own writing that he did this, but we do know from his own writing that the Trinity was incredibly significant to him. He stood up for the Orthodox doctrine of the Trinity at the time when in the church. That was actually not a very popular thing to be standing up for. I shouldn't say in the church, but I mean, in the wider sense of Christianity, it was really under assault. Arianism was a force to be contended with, and he held to the true doctrine of the Trinity. And of course, the story of the shamrock, the three that are one. And from this, he taught the people the triune God. He is one God, but he eternally exists in three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And you earlier quoted from the Great Rune. I wondered if it would be okay if we really just. I mean, I would really like to read the whole dang thing. Can I do that?
Absolutely, do.
Okay, this is actually given for us in our Treasury of Daily Prayer for tomorrow. This rune, it's a long rune. Well, what he did, he took an ancient pagan form and he baptized it into Christ. And then this is what the Druids would use when they would be putting curses on things, right? He uses it to proclaim blessing and the confidence of faith in God. Listen to this thing. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one and three. I bind this day to me forever, by power of faith, Christ's incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his death on cross for my salvation, his bursting from the spiced tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his coming at the day of doom, I bind unto myself today. I bind unto myself the power of the great love of cherubim, the sweet well done in judgment hour, the service of the seraphim, confessor's faith, apostle's word, the patriarch's prayers, the prophet's scrolls, all good deeds done unto the Lord in purity of virgin souls. I bind unto myself the virtues of the starlit heaven, the glorious sun's life-giving ray, the whiteness of the moon at even, the flashing of the lightning free, the whirling winds, tempestuous shocks, the stable earth, the deep salt sea around the old eternal rocks. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly host to be my guard against the demon snares of sin, the vice that gives temptation force, the natural lusts that war within, the hostile men that mar my course, or few or many, far or near, in every place and in all hours, against their fierce hostility, I bind to me these holy powers. Against all Satan's spells and wiles, against all false words of heresy, against the knowledge that defiles, against the heart's idolatry, against the wizard's evil craft, against the death wound and the burning, the choking wave, the poison shaft, protect me, Christ, till thy returning. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in heart of friend and stranger. I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, by whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word. Praise to the God of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, can you hear in that incredible prayer, can you hear the dangers that the man was facing as he traveled up and down this pagan land? He was constantly being assaulted by the Druids, by the natives of the land. They wanted him out of there. They did not want people listening to this news of Jesus and this church arising. And it under Patrick, it really did arise. I mean, the word brought an abundance of fruit. And so many people came to the Lord that basically in this man's 30-year tenure there, Ireland became Christian.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. When we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes with him. We're talking about the real St. Patrick. You see, there's always more. There's always more than the culture would leave to us of these figures, these saints of the early church. And what strikes me about St. Patrick and the prayer that Pastor Wheaton just read, how central the gospel is, how he wastes no time after invoking the name of the Trinity in getting to the point, to Christ's incarnation, life, death, and resurrection for us sinners. So what kind of questions or comments do you have about St. Patrick? I want to hear from you. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's March the 16th. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. And you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org. Click Promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Evangelical and Catholic, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Subsidizing abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
With the election of a pro-abortion president, those who profit from the business of abortion are hoping to receive more taxpayer funds. They have called for such things as expanding funding for Title X clinics, many of which are run by Planned Parenthood. Another goal is to repeal various laws that protect taxpayers from underwriting abortions, such as the Hyde Amendment. Joy Yearout of the Susan B. Anthony List points out, the majority of Americans are opposed to taxpayer funding of abortion. We're hoping to leverage that popular pressure, even with lawmakers who consider themselves pro-choice.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
All right, I want to hear from you about St. Patrick. In advance of the day, we are remembering the real deal. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or email your questions or comments to us right here in the studio, Monday, March the 16th, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Wheaton, one of the things that struck me when you were reading what's called St. Patrick's Breastplate or Rune, the prayer that you read there, is how central the gospel message is. I mean, he could have followed the manner of the creed, which was still, you know, in its nascent form, forming at the time that he was preaching these things and done Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But he begins with the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Does that tell us something that we perhaps have lost in 21st century Christianity in our message?
Well, I mean, what's really significant, I think, is the way he ties together the Trinity with the Incarnation. A couple of weeks back on your show, we talked about that first article of the Augsburg Confession, and how central it is to get the Trinity right, because, you know, can you have the Trinity right and have Christ wrong? And we said, well, I guess maybe it's possible, but you know what? Nobody else cares about the Trinity but those who care about Christ and what he has done for us. And so Patrick, with his missionary heart and a missionary heart he imparted to that entire church for centuries, he is the one who would, in extolling the Trinity, picks up then, this is the God that we've come to know through Jesus Christ, and through Christ, by these acts which he did for us, his coming into the flesh, his baptism in the Jordan River. Think about how huge that is in the Gospels. It doesn't make it into the creed. You're right. It's not there. But it's huge in the scriptures themselves, and it's huge for Patrick. And then his death on the cross for my salvation, his bursting from the spice tomb, riding up the heavenly way, coming at the day of doom, I bind it to myself today. He's got the entirety of the story of salvation in a few lines there. It's like a creed all by itself, isn't it, the way that it reads? Just really powerful.
Let's talk a bit about the differences. You know, nowadays the watchword in so-called mission work is some form of accommodation. We have to be so sensitive about the culture into which we are entering. And you mentioned that, of course, Patrick knew the Irish people. He knew the what he was headed into after his elevation to the priesthood and beginning his missionary work there. But it sounds as though there was very little of that spirit of accommodation to the culture or to the pagan society in the work that he carried out.
Yeah, I think in one way there's, I mean, he had absolutely no accommodation to druidical priestcraft and that kind of thing. But in another way, just stop and think of this, the very form of the prayer that I just read was druidical. I mean, he took something that was heathen at its hardcore center, and he said, I'm going to take this and I'm going to fill it with Christ, and Christ will drive out from this all of the evil that's in it. And so he literally, I wouldn't say he was accommodating to the culture. I would say he literally took over the culture for Christ and by Christ. And I really want to stress this missionary thing deeply, because what he did in that church was to implant a fervor for the spread of the gospel that bore fruit for ages. I mean, these people, their hearts were truly on fire with this gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of death's defeat, of sin's forgiveness. They could not keep it to themselves. And so they were, you know, no one had had much luck with the Picts up in Scotland. These guys cross back over the sea there, and they began the great missionary work there of planting a church in Scotland. And this church begins to come down, if you will, further into England. There's a little bit of a confrontation between the Roman type of Christianity and this very lively Irish kind of Christianity finally ended up being decided for the Roman side. I think that's a pity. It's a pity that it went that way. But the Irish couldn't be stopped. They just kept on spreading it. They went to the coast of Europe itself and began spreading the gospel there. Boniface was one of these people who came from the Irish plants. So the spread of the gospel to the Germans ultimately is due to the spread of the gospel by Patrick to the Irish. And it's a beautiful heritage of their church. One more odd thing about them, if I may. In that church, it was essentially a monastic church. You know, Patrick he grew up in a monastery. When he came back he went to a monastery. But the form of monasticism that the Irish practiced was unlike anywhere else. You could be married and be a monk. All they did was they lived in community and devoted themselves to prayer, and then they went to their daily work. But they always lived together in community and prayer. And so it was a whole different kind of monasticism than what people think about the celibacy and all of that. That's not how the Irish lived it.
I'm fascinated to hear you talk about how one built upon another. I can't help but think about Paul saying, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, someone else comes along and does the next thing, and you got Patrick and then Boniface, and then you got to extend it to the missionaries that went back the other direction. We are the inheritance, aren't we, of the faithful mission work of men like Patrick?
Oh, absolutely. We most certainly are. The church continues to stand in this glorious band of people who transmit the joyous good news of forgiveness in Christ, all the gifts that are ours in Christ, the freedom from idolatry, bringing us into the worship of the true God, the triune God, bringing us this confession. We're part and parcel of it. And so whenever we share the gospel with anybody else, we are standing together with Patrick and in the joy that shaped his life.
Steve is calling from St. Louis. Steve, welcome to the program. Our time is a bit short here, Steve.
Oh, sure. Not a problem. At the church I go to, it's been several pastors ago, when he would baptize one, he would then, you know, after the baptism, he would then almost recite St. Patrick's Prayer of God Before You, almost as a blessing over the person, and I always thought that was a great use of St. Patrick's Prayer of tying in with baptism.
Thank you very much, Steve. Pastor Whedon.
Well, isn't that true? I mean, when you look at those words, especially the Christ be with me, Christ with me, Christ be I me, Christ before, it's like that's exactly what happens to you in baptism. You're literally picked up and dumped down into Christ, and then Christ becomes everything all around you. You are clothed in Christ, as St. Paul says, by your baptism. Beautiful.
I notice your beagle. Is that your beagle in the background?
I'm sorry. Could you hear that the whole time?
No, yeah, I think, is it a she?
She's watching Cindy jog outside, and it drives her crazy.
Yeah, she's grown more. She's grown a little louder as time goes by. But don't stop her. I mean, this is what God created her to do, especially with beagles.
She's fulfilling her vocation.
Yes, exactly. And so far as she has one, yes, indeed. Let's conclude by talking about how the church. You've talked a bit about the missionary zeal that was instilled by Patrick in the newfound Irish Christians. How do we do that today? I mean, aside from programs and ideas and all the things that worry us about mission work, how do the pastors of the church rekindle that kind of zeal in the church today?
Well, that's the beauty of it. He didn't have any kind of a program. He wouldn't have even understood the idea. All he understood was that the Word of God gives life to the Christian community, and that word is preached, proclaimed, believed, received, and confessed, and that they live from their baptism to the Eucharist every week, you know, from the life that they were put into Christ to Christ, you know, in baptism, you are put into Christ. In the Holy Supper, Christ puts himself into you with his true body and blood. They lived the joy of this, and that joy was so contagious that they just had to talk about it to everybody. Some of the, if we only had time to do the great tales of the Celtic saints and how they just labored so hard to spread this joy that was theirs, they had no program to do it, none at all. They would just simply go off to another place and start telling people, we're here to tell you about the forgiveness of your sins in Jesus and to offer you the gift of a life that never ends. You want to hear more? You know, that's how they preached wherever they went. And God blessed them greatly. They kept their, if I can put it that way, they kept themselves Christ-centered, cross-focused, and that was the key to their mission zeal.
Finally, then, with about 30 seconds, do we face a world not as primitive as, but similar to in its paganism, to be blunt, that faced St. Patrick when he preached the gospel?
Sure, it's corrupt and as dangerous to Christians bringing that message that is so unwelcomed on the part of the paganism that predominates around us now. But, you know, the joy of the gospel is stronger than all of the fear. You know, we go back and say, you know, what are you going to do to me? I'm in Christ. For you to destroy my life, you have to destroy his, and no one's going to ever destroy his life, ever, ever. And so in that comfort, the challenge of the gospel rings out even in the midst of those who didn't want to hear it, but by its power, it changed hearts and brought people to faith in Christ.
Pastor Will Wheadon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. You'll find something that Pastor Wheadon has written about St. Patrick under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. What's the dog's name? Is it Lucy?
Lucy.
I don't know how I knew that, but somehow I knew that another saint's name. Well, give her a pat on the head and tell her, good dog for me.
I sure will. My apologies. Take
no
care.
Need for an apology. It was just a little added extra music in the background.
All righty. Take care.
When we come back from this break, Dr. Alvin Schmidt's going to join us. The impact of Christianity on civilization by way of influence, just its impact is incalculable, but we'll attempt to calculate some of it with regard to human life, sex, marriage, and the role and status of women, beginning a series with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Illinois College and author of the book How Christianity Changed the World. On the other side of this break, you can join us for the next half hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on the program, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt on the active and passive obedience of Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Back by popular demand, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Christian doctrines, can we defend them?
Answers with Ken Ham, whose ministry has opened a high-tech creation museum near Cincinnati, Ohio.
A question, why is it that many Christians don't seem to be able to adequately defend the doctrines of Christianity? Well, a major reason, I believe, is that most Christians don't believe and understand the book of Genesis. You see, Satan has been very clever. He knows if he can convince Christians that Genesis isn't true, then the foundations of all Christian doctrine will crumble. Christians need to wake up to the fact that the meaning of sin, marriage, death, family, in fact all doctrines of Christianity, are dependent on the events recorded in Genesis. For instance, what's sin? Why are all people sinners? The only way to answer is to go to Genesis, where we read about the origin of sin. The first man, Adam, disobeyed God. He rebelled against his creator. This was the original sin. And since all of us are descendants of Adam, we're all sinners. And sin is rebellion against God because there was a literal rebellion in a literal garden by a literal man. You see, Genesis is foundational to everything a Christian believes.
Did you know that Jesus Christ is called the Last Adam? That's the title of a documentary film we produced on the life of Christ, shown inside our Creation Museum. Now you can receive your own copy when you present our nonprofit ministry with a gift of any size. The DVD is yours when you call toll-free 1-888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.